advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. Retard.
You say funny things.
So Dave's alive.
Barely.
This thing is wicked, man.
What do you have?
It's just a cold.
It's like a different type of AIDS.
Yeah. It's cold AIDS.
You have sickle cell? You are black.
You might be a bot fly.
I got bad blood.
You got bad blood?
Yeah. No, I'm on day 9.
Did you take Oranthol?
And I'm still... No, I didn't. I couldn't find any Oranthol.
Were you fucked up?
They were... and the thing is,
right,
I know this...
The cobra.
I knew how wicked this was because everyone that I know who got it was just completely fucking floored for like 2 weeks. And I'm in the middle of that right now. But at one point when I needed cold medicine, I went to Target and they didn't have any.
Damn.
That tells you how fucking bad the cold is. Mm. They didn't have any generic, like the entire fucking.
The Up and Up brand.
And yeah. Like the pharmacist was like, nope. Like it's just all gone. And then I ended up going to
we're all out
to a CVS near the house and they were mostly out.
It's like, it's like the one version of Walking Dead. Like all you care about is the medicine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's rough, man.
That sucks.
But I'm here. I apologize in advance for the endless sniffles, snot.
That's like
clearing.
That's normal though.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's ambient background noise.
Yeah. Okay.
Our microphones are so good that we need that.
Ambient background noise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave would be sleeping.
That's ice cream wrappers in your underwear.
Yeah.
What you should have done when you couldn't find any medicine was killed someone who had it and then drank their blood.
Mm.
Someone that had taken
that's like
medicines.
I mean it's pretty much the same as the flu shot, you know what I
yeah
mean?
Yeah yeah
you're ingesting right. The virus
right.
I had medicine. I would have pissed in your mouth if you wanted to.
Oh, I didn't think about that
shit. Would it taste like vitamin C?
It's sterile, but it contains traces of the medicine,
right?
My pee tastes like tuna or smells, sorry, I don't
dude
know
mine smell like corn pops today. I never had anything
corn
weird.
Corn pops.
I don't even eat corn
like,
pops.
Like pops the cereal?
Yeah, like corn pops.
Golden pops.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
Huh.
Yeah. I never had such odoriferous emanations.
It makes you almost want to taste it though when it smells so good, huh? I can smell the mercury in mine.
I mean, it does make you wonder what it tastes like when it smells like that. Like candles. You know if you fucking bite a candle, some Yankee fucking sugar cookie
you
candle.
You never know. Smells delicious.
You might know. Some people might have tried it.
Yeah.
I used a spoon. It was not good. It was just bland. It's the kind of
was it a peanut butter one? It was like peanut butter candle.
How does it smell like sugar cookies and taste like that?
Like dick?
I wouldn't know. I don't know.
You tasted your own dick.
Just the tip. I can barely touch it with my tongue. And it hurts the shit out of my middle back.
My middle back. He used bicycle tubes like and ties them around his neck and his
legs.
That
was specific and effective, I bet. That seems like someone got intuitive.
I've seen it done on the internet. You can't unsee shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Okay. You can't unsee it.
Now I just
have clever ways to suck my own dick.
Yeah.
I seen it and then I tried it.
Yeah. Wow.
A bicycle.
Speaking
too.
Of dicks, I guess we're talking about D&D.
Yes.
We are talking about D&D. Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That old... So you two have never participated in the spectacle that is Dungeons and Dragons.
I've never played. I have friends that play. Mm-hmm. Like today, I have friends that play.
Right.
I think they're playing today.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking nerds. Like big nerds.
Fantastic.
Like, yeah. No, I'm a nerd. Mm-hmm. Like I'm all in for some nerd shit, but the Dungeons and Dragons, I like the fantasy stuff. Like mm-hmm. I like pretending you're in another world or something, you know what I mean? Or because it's kind of like a creative space, you know what I mean? Like you're almost like writing a book.
Lack structure though. Like my son started streaming on Twitch, so I was on Twitch and I was like, oh, what's this shit about? I haven't really messed with Twitch.
Yeah.
And then I saw there was a D&D thing and there's a whole category. Mm-hmm. So I go on there and I watched a bunch of different people playing D&D and it just seemed like so loosey goosey. Like they're just like, well, maybe I do this and then this happens. And they were just like talking it out. Is that how that
sounds
goes?
Like a shitty group.
It depends on the group, man. I've played I've played all my life. I haven't played the last couple of years, but I've played since as we look into the history, like almost the earliest iterations of Dungeons and Dragons, I was fucking playing those as they came out.
But there's
out.
A definitive like consequence and outcome and action.
Well, no, there definitely is. But the thing is it the group defines how loosey goosey things are.
Okay.
So the basic premise for those of you who have never played Dungeons and Dragons before is there is a DM or a dungeon master who's running the game. And the DM's job is to sit down and come up with encounters, right? You design a campaign, which is like the overarching story. So like
this is like before video games too. Role playing video game in real life.
Yeah. I watched a documentary and this guy had these books full of crazy maps that he had drawn that were super intricate that no one ever gets to see because he was the dungeon master.
Right.
So the players don't actually get to see these intricate, crazy fucking drawings of all this stuff.
Well, you prep everything. So as the dungeon master, you have a campaign, which is like the Lord of the Rings is the campaign, right? So the whole fucking thing, like that's what's in your mind as the DM. Like I have this whole story. There's a ring. We have to get it to Mordor, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
There's different encounters that would be like an individual, like, oh, I ran into an orc and we got into a fight or whatever. And you just play through.
I would
sessions.
Summon an eagle, one of the great eagles. So I'm just saying, I would just fly straight to the mountain and drop that shit. Game over.
See that?
That would ruin the movie.
You have to roll dice,
in the story, that tells me that Gandalf was an NPC, which is a non-player character that the dungeon master actually plays. Because that's only a dick move that a DM would pull. It's like at the very end, it's like, okay, well, I summon an eagle. And it's like, your NPC could have done that, like at the fucking level one. And it's like, yeah, he could have.
He could have just flown us there?
Exactly.
You fucking asshole.
So like, depending on the nature, and again, I've played in really different groups. Some of them are really fucking loosey-goosey. Like my brother's family, it's like, the DM will just be like, this happens, and then this happens. And it's like, oh, and you get hit in the head and knocked out. And it's like, there's no dice rolled. Like, that just happened. So roll with it. Fuck off, I'm the DM.
Yeah.
But there's other games where if the DM said that, the player would be like, bull fucking shit, I got knocked out. My fucking fortitude save is really high. I've got a million hit points. No one's fucking knocking me out. Roll the dice. What'd you roll? Like, fuck you. Yeah. I'm not knocked out.
You can argue it a little bit.
It depends on the group. Like, there's some groups that are huge rules mongers. And if you pulled a move like that as a DM and said, oh, you got knocked out, it'd be like, no, I didn't.
You got to give me a chance.
Roll it. Knock me out. Like, legit. But then there's other groups and it's like, okay, I got knocked out. I'm going to roll this.
The ogre started fucking you from behind.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Right. Exactly. So it's like,
my anal clench is like on a 10 right
now.
Exactly. We need to roll for this shit.
Just pointed out that you're always the DM because you're Dave Moten.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just walking around town.
Yeah. So it depends on the game group. Like I've played with super, super rules mongering strict ones. I've played with really casual ones. I tend to play like a style somewhat in the middle. If it's not rules based, it's just all bullshit and the DM can just do whatever the fuck they want to. And it leads to arguments and bullshit and pettiness. And it's like just weird. It's like just do it on the table. All dice are seen by everyone. And then everything is above.
Kind of like that's a band. You got to have some chemistry. Like you just don't invite that guy next week if shit doesn't go down.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's how
did you guys play last week? Nope.
Yeah. So so as the DM, like my job.
I saw you walking over there in your cloak.
Right.
Why did you have your wizard staff then?
Yeah.
So if
I was watching Cops.
Yeah, it's getting a tune-up.
If we were going to meet up as DM, I would have an idea like, oh, we're going to play for 6 hours today. So I'm gonna do like one big combat and some stuff that leads up to it. And that should be enough. But then as a fallback, I've always got some other random encounters like that I could throw at people. Because you might go in there and be like, oh, so we left last time. You were at the door to the fucking dungeon. And I've got this dope shit plan just on the other side of the door. And as soon as you start, they were like, yeah, DM, we talked about it. We decided to go back to town. We're actually going to head south to that where they said they saw that eagle. And it was like, you said there was an eagle. Yeah. The guy in the bar, you said that there was an eagle and we thought that was the clue.
Right.
And it's like, that wasn't the fucking, but you can't say anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, Jesus Christ. So they end up on this fucking cul-de-sac of adventure.
You could modify though.
No, you do. If you're like on the fly, you come up with something else.
Turn around.
But still, if they don't turn around, they fucking
spend. Trump built a wall. Right. Sorry guys.
They spend the whole day looking for the eagle and they get there and it's a fucking eagle. And it's like, oh, I thought that was something. We better go back to that dungeon. It's like, you just fucking.
Oh, so you could be a dick and just be like, oh, we spent 6 hours of nothing.
Right. And it happens all the time. Oh, like, wow. It happens all the fucking time. But if, and again, it depends on the group, because in some groups, it's all about the role playing. Like, yeah. Everybody's like in character, and that's the point of the group is to role play and play out your character. It's like improv. And, I mean, the rules of improv apply. And that's even one of the things I read on Dungeons and Dragons was it's like one part improv, one part strategy game, one part, you know, everything else. And because when the DM says an ogre walks into the room, you're not like, oh, ogre didn't fucking walk into the room. You have to be like, oh, fucking ogre just walked into the room.
Right.
You can ask more questions like, what, you know, how tall is he? What kind of weapons does he have? Like, you know, whatever, but you roll with it. And if,
and if you made the dungeon master mad, he could be like, he's fucking 10 foot tall, bitch. And he's got a fucking, he could just kind of say whatever at that
right.
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to be nice.
His cock is huge. Yeah.
But part of the thing for me though, like the fun of, me in Dungeons and Dragons is to come like to plan the shit that I'm going to plan. And then it happens how it fucking happens. If I plan a fight that I thought was going to be really fucking taxing and they all get really lucky and I roll like shit and the fight's over in 30 seconds and they just whoop these guys' asses, like, welcome to real life. Like, bad, they fucking had a bad day, you had a good day. And if I plan something simple and they keep rolling 20s and fucking splitting heads and the players are rolling like dog shit and they get their asses kicked by a bunch of nobodies, that happens too. You got your ass whooped by a nobody. He got lucky. He fucking gave you a fucking two-piece and a biscuit and you fucking fell down into the street. Like,
Dave just taught us that's term for knocking a dude out on the street back in his old
days. 1-2 and a knockout.
Yeah.
So I'm always about like, I've got it planned out. However, if they all die, they all die. If they kick ass, they kick ass.
I can kind of see watching it. It didn't seem fun, but that you made it sound like I could see myself trying to play a game of D&D. I could do it.
And a lot of people,
I think it's with who you're with.
Yeah, it is with.
I mean, I think
if
we had a group of our friends that like are on the nerdy side that could get along with some D&D stuff.
Right.
I've never played. I could do it. I like improv. And really, I like the fantasy.
What's the minimum amount of people you have to have?
It's like two. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
really?
Really?
Yeah. But you'd have like, what?
It'd be lame.
You'd have like six people probably.
I think an ideal game is probably six people. Five players and a dungeon master to me is probably
four
an ideal.
Dungeon master.
Yeah, that's a good group. But I mean, it's the, and it depends, like if we started a group, if all of a sudden we found a couple more people and put on a group, I wouldn't expect there's going to be some super intense level of role playing.
Right.
That usually comes from, we've been playing this particular campaign for 6 months.
Yeah.
We all know our characters.
Do people do voices though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you have to do the voice?
Like the card shop I go to, like they play there and you see them walk in. And they're like on another level of nerddom, like that you're not on. Like I play Magic and people get Magic confused with Dungeons and Dragons somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just because they don't know what it is, I guess. And I'm like, no. Magic's like a strategy card game, deck building.
It's like Star Trek.
Like, yeah. And they're like, same thing. And I'm like, no,
not at all.
Dungeons and Dragons is like role playing and you know, there's a book involved. I'm like, yeah, same thing as I'm like, no. Like, and they just don't get it.
Yeah.
But you're they're
like, no,
completely different things. Like,
So even if it was a new group and there wasn't a whole lot of role playing, then that's fine as well. I've been with old groups that don't really do a lot of role playing. To like the real fun for a lot of players is the combat.
Yeah.
Like the combat system, the way the fight plays out is like, it is so fucking fun. When you've been like chasing some fucking boss for in real life for months, right? Because you play once a week, once every 2 weeks. So for months, you've been going after this quest. You finally get there. There's the guy. There's the fucking magic butt nugget that you have to rescue, whatever. And the fight happens. And it's just fucking, I mean, dope shit happens. And it's like all of a sudden, like Brent's character falls and my character falls and Brad's like, oh, fuck.
It's like a
movie.
And
it's like he's surrounded by three people and it's like, Brad's how's like, this going to go down?
Show yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. And then you get lucky with a dice roll and fucking like,
you
save the day or
and
die.
And
has
like,
anyone ever done Dungeons and Dragons but substituted characters? Like, I'm Mario, he's fucking Ryu. Like, we get our attributes.
I'm positive.
I'm sure that's cool. Probably happened. Yeah.
So, but the combat, like, I mean, Magic the Gathering, like a dope game of Magic the Gathering is really fucking fun and really intense. But I have to say, like a really good Dungeons and Dragons combat with four or five people is like it trumps magic any day of the week. Like it's so
I think
fun.
It just depends. I think it's they're two completely
radically different.
Different things.
Radically different.
You know, things. Like you're playing for a different mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. Like in Magic, you're playing for a different reason. Right. Like you're combating because you built this deck.
Right.
And it's strategy. It's like chess. Right. So like you're playing chess. There's nothing on the chessboard but the chess pieces. And you're moving those pieces, but when you win, it's like, oh fuck
yeah!
It
could be kind of unfair
won.
Though, because if you got money, you could have like super
yeah,
magic
you can.
Deck. So you can offset it. Like you showed up with all the best shit.
Not really. So you could have the best stuff, and I can build some shitty piece of shit. You don't know how to play. I would beat you.
But if I don't have any money, I could never have the best stuff.
It doesn't matter.
But
it's the deck building and the strategy. So you can have a $80 deck, and some guy has a $2,000 deck, and you beat his ass.
Mm. Right.
It doesn't really matter. And it's luck of the draw.
A similar thing happens in Dungeons and Dragons. Because if we all sat down to make characters and I gave you the player's handbook and a character sheet and you read the rules and made a character, you guys would make some fucking bullshit characters.
Yeah,
right.
Like you would make characters who could not succeed at what they were doing because you wouldn't know where to put the skills.
I played Robotech when I was young.
Yeah.
And so like that was like, that's kind of
similar.
It's a role-playing game.
And but like if you know the system, like at worst you do what they call min-maxing, which is, oh, I'm going to put this many points in here and then move this. And then if I take this feat, it adds to that and stacks with this. And then I fucking do that and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I can kill everybody with one hit. And it's like, if you know what you're doing, you build a character who's just a badass and everybody else.
I had the weirdest like upbringing too. Like I lived in the ghetto and it was like, you know, blacks and Mexicans. And like, I was the only white kid. Like there was maybe one or two other white kids. Like I went to school, all blacks and all Mexicans. And, all my friends were black and Mexican. And I hung out with I was like in third grade, hanging out with 18, 19 year olds who were in gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be out at midnight and I go over to this house and these motherfuckers are playing Robotech.
Mm-hmm.
Like gangsters.
I don't know what Robotech is.
It's like a role playing game. It's robots. And so like, and I vaguely remember it. Like I remember playing, I remember character sheets and I remember building characters and I was young. But yeah, the weirdest shit, like these guys were fucking like gangsters, West Side.
That was my weird
fucking,
like they had a pot of tea and shit. He's like two lumps.
Yeah. It's like fucking like you walk in and that's not what you're expecting. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, I'm like, wow, this is crazy, you know? And they're teaching you this fucking game and you have fun. Like,
and that was my high school gaming group. Like half of them were fucking in a gang and fucking drug dealers and shit.
Weird,
and you'd play in the middle of the night.
Dungeons and
sometimes
Dragons,
you'd be like, oh, we can't start until so-and-so gets here because like we're about to get in this fight and
he's got
to
go bag a body.
And it's like, but they would get there like covered in blood with fucking knuckles and fucking needing stitches over their eye. And you're like, fuck, it's going to be another hour. You know, so-and-so has to fucking get cleaned up. And then
they
gotta
bury the body.
And then you'd fucking
Jesse had to go to the hospital.
But I mean,
dumbass.
But the game is just fucking super fun. But and I encourage everyone to try.
I think we should play it. And
but you need a good,
staying character too.
You need a good DM though. You need.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean,
you're the DM.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like my buddy Bob plays. He has all the first edition books. Mm-hmm. I always think like ever since I met this motherfucker.
Or bring Bob in and let him be the DM, and then we get to play.
That too.
That
Dave
can play.
Yeah. And so like, and I know he's like a strict DM. Like he's like a fucking asshole. He's probably an asshole. I can just imagine. But he always like, ever since I met him, he's like, oh, I got all this shit. And you're like, nah, you don't got all that shit, dude. And then he's like, fucking next day you see him, he's like, yeah, check it out. And you're like, oh fuck, you do have all that shit.
Yeah,
you know,
I got a lot of old shit.
And everybody would do that to him. And he's like, these motherfuckers don't believe me. Like I got all this shit. Like, and it's like, it's like shit. You're like, nah, nobody has all
like,
that
so
shit.
So if he shows up and they give me like a character sheet, like I can pick my character. Like it won't be hard. Like, am I going to slow?
Yeah. A lot
down,
of times, a lot of times
up?
You roll, like you roll your stats,
Oh,
okay.
So it's like you have stats for each of these things and you roll them. And if you roll a one, you have a fucking one. Like,
so it's
like,
so the
garbage,
the way Dungeons and Dragons itself works is you have so many stats, strength, intelligence, wisdom, constitution, charisma.
Mm-hmm.
And they range, when you first start, they range between 3 and 18 because you roll 3d6 to determine what it is. So 18 intelligence would be fucking Einstein or some shit,
right?
You know? So you roll randomly and you get what you get. And there's variance, like you can roll 4 dice and throw away the worst one or reroll ones or, you know, whatever. But because if you roll a bunch of shit, your character sucks.
Yeah, you have all threes.
Play them, right?
You have all threes and you're just fucking like
you don't want to continue for the next month with this shit character.
But it takes a long, like if we were starting a new game, like even with like seasoned players and it's like, oh, we're going to get together, we're going to start a new game. Odds are the entire session would probably be everybody making characters.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like that would probably be this because it takes a long time and you have to always, you can't make decisions. It's not like, well, how, you know, oh, I get this much gold. Let me talk to the DM. How much gold do I start with? And it's like, oh, like this. And do I start with magic items? No, this world doesn't have magic.
So
or
we were going to do this last week and you were sick. And so I watched like some documentaries on it, like little shows and shit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think Maddox was paying attention, but he was, like he was had headphones on watching some Fortnite video or something, eating dinner, and I was watching the Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And the next morning I woke up to, hey dad, I made a game. And I was like, what do you mean? And he had a notebook and he had all this shit drawn out and he had characters. Like there's some dude named Meaty Mike. That's the only one I can remember was Meaty Mike. Right. But what he did was he took toys, little action figures that he had. Then he brought out a chessboard. He was trying to make me make a map. He was like using PowerPoint on the computer to create a map and using Zelda trees to put on like the squares. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't you just use a checkerboard or something? It'd be easier. So he ended up having a checkerboard and dice. And we played like three rounds of that game on Sunday when we didn't record.
Right.
And it worked. Like it was like you would face off and then roll for hit points. You could retreat and gain a point for at least two spaces while you're retreating. But then you couldn't retreat anymore.
Using the board.
Yeah, just using the board like checkers headed across from each other. And then we were going to say you could regain a character and all this stuff, but then he had rules and shit and it was funny. It worked.
And here's the thing, like Dungeons and Dragons, like when we would get together, everybody would say, hey, we're going to get together and play D&D. And realistically, we played D&D half the time. The other half of the time we played something else.
Because
there's a lot of games. But at the end of the day, all of the role-playing games that are out there are offshoots of Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like every, like the even like video games, like if you play a video game that your character levels up, you can thank Dungeons and Dragons and Garrett Gygax like
Dragon
for the fact
Warriors,
that there's level
Zelda,
up. If
most
you
of those RPGs
get experience
are
points, like experience
on,
points, Garrett Gygax invented it, Dungeons and Dragons. There you go.
Well, that's
like
what I saw on Twitch. There's dudes that are playing OG Zelda, like in like, oh, I'm not going to get the sword and beat the game. And that's their live stream. There's a bunch of people watching two guys going head to head with no sword on OG Zelda trying to get through it.
Well, people do, crazy shit. Like
it made me want to start a Twitch channel.
My nephew and Oregon, like they
got to be good at it though.
I see Twitch stuff like my nephew and Oregon is trying to get the speed record for Yoshi's Island.
Oh, nice.
Like the old freaking Yoshi game.
That game's fun.
And he's like,
there's someone that could beat Mario in like under 2 minutes or something.
He's like, I think when I was up there, his time was 33rd in the world.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is no fucking joke. And I would just sit there and he would just play it over and over and over and over. And he'd be like 40 seconds in and be like, fuck,
start
turn it off. And it was like, what just happened?
Didn't land on
he was
the
like,
block.
Exactly.
Right.
I didn't land on the block right. And it's just like, you have to do these perfect runs.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, there's all kinds of shit like that on Twitch. But yeah, any role-playing game, even if it's an RPG that's a video game based thing.
So I didn't talk
to you. It all goes back to Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, so here's the thing. We can stream on Twitch. Did you know this? Do you know what Twitch Prime is?
No.
So in your Amazon Prime subscription,
you get video in 2 days?
You get a subscription to Twitch Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So then
Amazon?
Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a subscription to Twitch
Prime. Optimus Prime on meth?
Yeah, he's got Twitch. So after his drug days.
Yeah. He wrecked on his motorcycle.
They will pay one sub for you. So if you want to sub someone's account for $5 or whatever, $4.99, it's included. One subscription to one Twitch channel is included in your Amazon
Prime.
Look
at you, one sub.
Yeah.
You're like all fucking Captain Twitch over here.
Like a 12-inch subwoofer?
So the streamer gets half and
it's
Twitch capping. Gets the other half.
It's capping Twitch.
It's so like right now, if we streamed on Twitch and everyone who had Amazon Prime was like, oh yeah, I'll go over and it doesn't cost them anything. They could all sub our Amazon, our account using their Amazon Prime.
So Amazon's paying us basically?
Amazon would pay us.
Let's get to it.
And it doesn't cost our listeners anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Wow, that seems like a way.
Next week on Smoking Podcast. Difference is we have like 300 patrons. So if we had 300 of those at 250, I mean, it's still money out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, that's the cool thing for people that couldn't
afford. Well, the thing is though, fuck
Patreon.
The patrons. We have a lot of people that aren't patrons.
Did you say fuck the patrons, Dave?
Well, no, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about that particular, if you're talking about that particular scheme, like
fuck the patrons.
Everyone with fucking Amazon Prime, whether you're a patron or not, can fucking do that shit.
That's
Amazon
what I'm saying. It doesn't cost anything. The one default thing though, of course, this would be the hitch. You have to go resub every month, though. It won't auto repeat because they don't want you're not even watching that. We're paying.
Then we're gonna get like things saying like, "Oh, these guys want us to do a sub on Amazon whatever Twitch Prime."
If you watch
fuck these guys,
if you watch,
and I meant,
what you gotta do.
I meant like I want you to go.
Oh, you
and
want
have a romantic
stream.
Evening with all the patrons and fuck them.
Oh, okay. Well,
wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was gonna do that.
Oh,
anyway.
You wanted us to stream.
Might
on
as
there?
Well get paid for it.
Yeah.
I thought we were just going to have the channel and get paid.
Well, you would stream on Twitch and then get...
I know, but I thought we didn't have to stream. Actually, they just have the channel set up.
I want to fix the internet. I guess it's all glitchy.
Yeah, I guess that's the key. Yeah. So one of the best
things... Well, if we had a $5 Twitch Prime subscriptions good. Here...
That wouldn't make Spectrum not be idiots.
Yeah,
that's true.
So one of the best things about Dungeons & Dragons, before we get into the backstory of the game and some of the interesting details, one of the best things about Dungeons & Dragons, to me, is... the experience of going to a gaming store, because there's nothing like it in the fucking world, especially like back in the day. Like now gaming is like, because of Magic, game stores have a completely different feel than they used to have.
How accurate is Big Bang Theory when they go to the store? Well, the guys are like, got it.
There are some stores out there that are still legit. There's a place called Captain Nemo's. There's a place... There's places in Las Vegas.
There's a place in Burbank called the Last Grenadier that, it's not like it wasn't like, I don't even know if it's still open. It's not like a massive gaming place, but it would get shit from indie gaming places back when there was like, you know, pre Amazon, like you can't get this shit. You had to go to a gaming store because you couldn't get it anywhere. It wasn't sold at a regular bookstore or anything. And my favorite was, we used to, you know, cause we would paint miniatures, cause you use miniatures. You can, you don't have to, but you can use miniatures in the game to add a certain level of realism to the tactics in your combat. And it makes the combat a lot more fun. But we went to the Last Grenadier in Burbank.
They play D&D on Stranger Things, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're actually in April, they're releasing Stranger Things Dungeons and Dragons. Apparently they have I never saw Stranger Things, but they had a module that they wrote called Curse of the Tesla Hydra or something.
They're playing it in the beginning of the movie.
Well, they're releasing Curse of the Tesla Hydra along with the Dungeons and Dragons basic set next month in April.
Is your Netflix list just long, or are you choosing not to watch that for a reason? It's really good.
I stopped. Yeah. It's my Netflix. It's just
I stopped halfway through the second one.
I have too many shows to watch. I'm sure I'm going to like it. I just haven't gotten to it.
It has a good feel to it.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you ever cheat and jump in your queue? Lots of people are like that. Very strict about their queue. Like, I've got a lot of shows ahead of it.
Oh,
like,
no. I jump I don't all have the a time. Fucking like, queue. Whatever.
What's a queue?
Like, how many, like, shows you plan to watch?
Like, you've added,
I don't plan that far.
Started watching Fringe again this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we tried it. I'm on, I don't know, episode 5.
There was one I just saw on there that
looked your girl,
good.
Though. I did remember. That's Dave's crush. That's his one.
Who is it?
What's her
name? Olivia Dunham.
Olivia Dunham. Yeah, that's her name. Dunham. Yep.
Jeff Dunham's daughter?
That's right. So, but Last Grenadier, go down there to buy miniatures. Closest place we could go to get miniatures was in Burbank, Last Grenadier. We drive down there, and... as we're walking through, looking at walls and walls of miniature to pick, you know, whatever we, you know, our characters are and so forth to paint later. And they had gaming rooms in the back. And so we're standing there, myself, my friend, and then my friend's girlfriend who drove. And out of nowhere, the back doors to the gaming rooms barge open, like someone kicks the doors open, and a guy wearing a t-shirt that looked like a Captain Kirk shirt.
Okay.
Like the red, it was a yellow shirt with a fake, you know, insignia on it.
He had pajamas on.
Yeah. And he's got you could tell he just scooped up all the shit in front of him on the table. His like books, pieces of paper. He's running like a cartoon character with pieces of paper flying through the air behind him. Red-faced in anger, screaming over and over, Klingons would never surrender. Klingons would never surrender. Klingons would never surrender. As he ran through. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
And he stormed out the front door.
Just on point there. Yeah.
Stormed out the front door, and everyone in the shop paused and looked at each other as if to say, I'm not so bad. Like,
yeah. Well, that's what I do when homeboys walk in there with their fucking, like, you got to see these guys dressed
super
up.
Duper. So
I'm telling you, dude, it's like the fucking the dude with the long hair, and it's kind of curly and it's fucked up, and you can tell he just doesn't know how to fucking dress.
Right.
Like, and he has his fucking like weird leather fucking something on, and you're just like thinking like, I'm standing
a
here.
Jerkin.
I'm standing here fucking nerding out on some magic cards and like, yeah.
Yeah, you got
I ain't
me.
Fucking that. Yeah. It's, yeah.
So it could make you feel good. But so Dungeons and Dragons.
Or shoot up your school. It's one of
or shoot up your school.
Yeah. Yes.
It was originally published by TSR, which stood for Tactical Studies Rules. And it was derived from a miniature game called Chainmail. and which was derived from a game, There's like this long history of everybody back then had these independent gaming companies that would like get a, you know, $1,000 and then print as many copies as you could and go to nerd stores and try to sell them. Yeah. So, TSR did its thing, but it really took off. Like Dungeons and Dragons, I didn't know how, I mean, I knew it was a decent size, IP, intellectual property, but by 2004,
it had sold over Wizards.
Yeah. But by 2004, it had done in total over $1 billion in business. And it's probably bigger now. Not probably. It is bigger now than it was in 2000.
Is there an online version of it? Like, do people play over? I feel like people play over Skype. There's a virtual dice or something.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, you can Skype it. There's a couple of software platforms you can use, so people from out of town, you can all see the map and you can like.
Right. Yeah, they have some stuff online.
Yeah.
Like that.
It really seems like
that demographic. Someone would have taken hold of that and coded that all out.
It's out there. Yeah. It's out there. But the. Like different people who have played it, Stephen Colbert, Vin Diesel, Jon Favreau, Matt Groening, Chris Hardwick, Moby, Mike Myers. I'm glad. Thank you for that reaction. Mike Myers, Patton Oswalt, Carl Urban, Nathan Fillion, Will Wheaton, of fucking course. And Robin Williams, oddly enough, have all not just said, I've played it, but they've said, I'm a fan. You should play it. It does good things for you. Like, well, I will honestly say, everything I know about math, I only know because of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Like, period. That's
the English professor.
Like, period. That's it. And I remember, because one of the things you do is if you're a wizard, you can cast a fireball once you can cast third level spells, and they do a die 6 of damage per level. Mm-hmm. So once you're high level, if you're like 15th level and you cast a fireball, you roll 15 die 6 and you have to count them.
90.
You get really fucking good at counting sixes.
Right.
And we used to do a thing in the English department. We did this mass scoring of essays that were scored between 1 and 6. And there would just be like all these 1 through 6s on the board. And everybody would sit there for like 30 minutes to
tally
really
them up.
You're really good at 6. It was ridiculous. I would look at column 1 and I'd be like 3, 10, 10, 20. 20, 30, 47. The first one's 67, 10, 20. Cause you just learn patterns of tens and no one ever believed me for like the first 2 years. And then finally
you did Common Core before it was mainstream. When it was still underground.
Yeah. Strangely enough, this last week's episode of Big Bang Theory was them playing Dungeons and Dragons. It was that secretly Will Wheaton was having William Shatner over his house to play Dungeons and Dragons. And he had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, William Shatner, and then some guy that played in like True Blood or something that I don't know. Some guy from Magic Mike, some handsome buff guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he is a gamer. You're talking.
I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah. He's a gamer and he runs like a nerdy, they make like D&D t-shirts and shit.
So all the Big Bang guys are trying to get in on the game.
You're taking your experience from like, past when you played, like, I wonder, and that's why I was thinking, like, how much has it evolved? Because I wasn't in it in the beginning and still not in it now. Like, I know about the game.
It's evolved massively.
Yeah. So
I've kept track of the, like, when they release new sets of rules, I buy the books, even if I'm not playing, because curious to see. Because at the end of the day, I would like to write for, like, role-playing games. I think that'd be fucking dope.
Oh, yeah.
So I always want to stay up on the rules and see what's up. But the backstory is because there's different editions. So I don't know how deep I want to go in nerddom.
You always go as deep as you can.
Yeah, you go.
Even
all, okay. Yeah.
So it hurts.
So the sequence of editions that came out. So in 1977, there was.
I say we make everybody listening's brain hurt.
There you go. Okay. 1974, Dungeons and Dragons.
That's
came
a
out.
Lot of sixes.
That is a lot of 74. 1977, Gary Gygax split the
Gygax.
Yeah. He split the game into what he called basic and advanced Dungeons and Dragons. And part of it was so that you could get more rules in, because basic was basic and advanced
loosey-goosey.
Is really fucking advanced. But part of it is because David Ayers, who was like the co-author, left the gaming company and had rights to anything published under Dungeons and Dragons. And they fucked him and said, well, this is advanced Dungeons and Dragons. So it's a different game. Yeah. Fuck off.
They didn't even change the name at all.
They just put advanced. But so they split it off. And that was pretty much Dungeons and Dragons for my entire childhood. And I remember like in 77, I mean, I was fucking young, obviously, when I started, because in 77, these books started coming out and I would have been...
I wasn't born.
I was six.
Yeah.
Right? So, but I remember we got, my brother, who would have been eight, got the Dungeon Master's Guide, like when it came out, and we had to wait months for the Player's Handbook to come out, and then we had to wait months for the Monster's Manual to come out, or the Monster Manual to come out.
It just makes me think of Weezer every time I hear the Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got a 12-sided die. Like, it's just, it's Weezer lyrics.
Okay. But so second edition was published in 1989, which was, wasn't really that great. In 2000, they released third edition, which got re-released as 3.5 in 2003. And I'll go on record. Nerds can flame me for it, but I'm going to say that third edition, if not 3.5, is the best role-playing game that has ever been designed. Like, it's fucking magical and beautiful and fantastic. It's what they call the Die 20 rules. And the rules were so good that they, Wizards of the Coast surprisingly said, anyone that wants to can use these rules. So they ended up making a Star Wars game using the same exact rules, wow. Like a futuristic game, a modern day game, a Call of Cthulhu game, and they all use the same. So basically you could have a character from Star Wars go and fight a Dungeons and Dragons character and you had the same exact rules.
Yeah, so I was getting earlier.
So it was pretty good system.
Street Fighter versus Alien.
Exactly. And right now the rules are still alive and well. There's a big game called Pathfinder.
If Disney keeps buying shit, we're going to have that. Like the Marvel Universe just keeps expanding.
Yeah. I know you've seen Pathfinder if you've gone to gaming stores, because it's
Popeye big, versus
it's
Thor.
Probably bigger than Dungeons and Dragons, and it is Dungeons and Dragons, but it's its own company.
Oh, see, and I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I knew Pathfinder was a role playing game, but I didn't know
it uses the 3.5, a modified version of the 3.5 rules, and it's just its own world. You know,
so why would you need to come up with another D&D? Like, you know what I mean, like.
You've been playing it for 20 years, man.
Well, the rules change. Like
Anyway,
they fucked up. Like, they had perfection with 3.5, but this was right when World of Warcraft was huge, and they were losing sales to World of Warcraft. And a lot of people who were like World of Warcraft people said that D&D was too complex. So fourth edition came out, and it was fucking dumbed down to be like World of Warcraft. And everyone I know that played Dungeons and Dragons fucking hated fourth edition, said it was complete.
But they're on like
out bullshit.
10th edition now.
They're on the fifth edition now.
Is it fifth?
Which
I thought it was like, I thought they had more than that.
No, they're on fifth right now. It's decent, but it's not as good as 3.5. So those are all the additions. And I've got all the fucking way back to the 1977 shit, like sitting in my garage.
That shit's worth money.
Like, yeah, it's worth money. I looked, there's a, I forget the name of the Palace of the Silver Princess. It's an adventure module. And I can't remember which one I have, because we used to buy the modules the day they came out.
And that's a preset map or something?
It's a preset map. It's all the maps. Okay. It's all the rooms. So like, and they're kind of fucking, there's no kind of, they're just fucking flat out cheesy.
Okay.
Like that you have your map and you draw it out so the players go through it. And then they walk into the room and you pick up the module and you say, inside of the room, a cold wind blows over a sea of black ichor. A hearth bursts into hearty flames and casts ghostly shadows on the wall. Before you is a couch and a raised dais. What do you do?
We're playing, and you have to be Dungeon Master. You don't get to play.
And you read the fucking stupid descriptions because they're horrible.
Bob's just going to have to play.
I thought I was in the Disney's Haunted House right there for a minute. I was like...
But this one module, the Silver Princess module, got recalled because there were like dirty pictures in it.
Oh, I thought the airbags were
malfunctioning. I'm like 50-50. I might have had the recalled one because I was looking and they sell for up to like $3,000.
Yeah.
It depends.
If you got
on
the recalled one.
If they have an orange cover or a green cover. And when I saw the cover,
like summer
I was
magic.
Like, I saw the green cover.
Anymore, though.
And I was, no, I have them all.
Oh.
And I was like, that looks like, I think I have that module, but I didn't think it was green. And then when I read on, I was like, oh, the orange one. Do I have the fucking orange one? So I need to look.
Yeah, of course you have the orange one.
Yeah.
I have the
little mermaid. Why would you have another colored one?
Yeah, I have the Little Mermaid with the golden cock castle.
Mm-hmm. I say we raid Dave's
found
garage.
It in Goodwill.
That's like Summer Magic, though. They had a Magic edition that they released in Summer 94, and they pulled it. And now, like, there's a one card. It was a misprint, and it's worth like $100,000.
Wow.
Like, easy.
Jesus.
Like, and I think there's only one known.
There's like, some OG NES games that are worth something crazy like that, like $200,000.
Yeah.
Because there's only five copies.
That's one card of the set. Like the rest of the set, like for a basic land, they're insane prices. Like absolutely insane. And people
just
because
it's
them.
Rare. It's not people fucking it's not more effective.
No, yeah. It's just rare. It's one of those things. Like there's basic lands that come out that are $300-$400.
Right. When,
well, why is this one 2 cents and people throw them away, rip them up and write on them, and that one's worth $500.
Right.
You know, because they're rare. Because they're rare. Done by a certain artist. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, printed for something special. Cards came in a fucking comic book like that they put out, and like now they're worth a ton of money.
Right,
like,
right.
Victoria Barton brought an envelope full of magic cards that were just left on the patio, which I assume are Mondo's throwaways, but his throwaways sometimes are like, they're like $4 cards and shit, apparently.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
They're in an envelope if you guys want to go through.
We're doing budget decks right now, and like, man, there's some good cards.
Yeah,
that are
cheap.
Commons, yeah.
So the genesis of this is Gary Gygax meets Dave Arneson in, I think it was 1967 at Gen Con, which was the gaming convention in Geneva, Wisconsin.
This year right here is like the nerd equivalent to the Boston Tea Party meeting.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes, it is. Like that was, again,
revolutionary shit's happening.
This
right
is why
here.
I want my time machine.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Gen Con in 67 and sit in on the game of Blackmore that Dave Arneson ran that Gary Gygax played and see if I could play with him.
Blackmore. Blackmore is a good name.
Blackmore was a game that sort of came out before Dungeons and Dragons. It used a lot of elements in it. It later became a world setting for Dungeons and Dragons. But they ended up, and Gen Con used to be, I don't even think Gen Con exists anymore after Wizards of the Coast bought it. But
I don't know.
Gen Con, I went to Gen Con once when I was a kid, like, and was kind of overwhelmed.
No, it's still,
is it still going?
Yeah, I got 2019 dates.
Okay. But so they met at Gen Con, the second ever Gen Con. And then a couple years later, they created TSR and they merged Chainmail with Blackmore with all their other ideas. And they stole liberally from Tolkien and they stole liberally from H.P. Lovecraft and his Cthulhu mythos. And they took all, like, you know, Michael Moorcock and like different
Michael Moorcock.
That's his name. I know
you were going to try to slip that past.
No, as soon as
you know,
I said
the guy's like Michael Moorcock.
As soon as I said it, I realized his name was Michael Moorcock.
Your mom's
make,
gonna
that
have
that can make a guy gag if you weren't careful. Got him.
You make him guy gag.
You hit me right in the nerd button. Yeah, and he's famous for Stormbringer, by the way.
Nice.
So.
He comes with the thunder.
Yeah.
And
lightning. In fact, he got, after a couple of years after D&D came out, Gygax got sued, by the Tolkien estate because he called halflings and he called ents, or hobbits. And he had to change them to halflings, and he changed ents to treants, and all these Tolkien names he had to change. And he had a book. One of the key books was called.
It's weird when you write something into existence, like it feels like as time passes, that's an existing thing now. Like an int is this walking, living symbiote tree character thing.
Right.
And now it exists, but you have intellectual property right over it. Mm-hmm. So then no one else can talk about it, but it's a thing now. It exists in the universe.
Right.
But you can't refer to it in any monetized way, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Tolkien estate came after him, so we changed all the names. And the same thing, the people who owned the Lovecraft estate and the other estate looked at Deities and Demigods because he had a whole section that was the Cthulhu gods, and they made him reissue the book without that entire chapter because he didn't own the intellectual property. So he kind of ran fast and loose with IP ideas and just fucking crammed.
We should just make one really close, like the Hobbits and the Dorks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mandalf.
Lizards of the Coast.
Gandalf
and
Green
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gandalf. And I do have, by the way, because the book Deities and Demigods, when it came out, they had to re-release it. And again, if you have the pre-re-release Deities and Demigods, it's worth more money, which is
Samwise Ganja. He's just a little Jamaican dude.
This motherfucker's just bragging now.
Yeah.
Which is
I got all the old shit. He splits Dungeons and Dragons. He releases the core books. And then, at first he's selling like 1,000 copies a year of everything and making no fucking money. But it ends up growing pretty rapidly. And by 81, he was selling about 750,000 copies per year per book.
So it sounds like he got back to people. Like when they messaged him, he got back to them, unlike fucking Superfight.
He got back to us, sort of.
He's kind of.
That sealed the deal right there, probably. Yeah.
He's not listening.
Nah. He's a huge fan.
Yeah.
He weighs 500 pounds.
So, yeah, 750,000 by 1984 per year, which is going to make you some fucking money.
Oh yeah.
So at this point, TSR is finally starting to make some money. And long about this point, they create, which is perhaps my favorite thing ever about Dungeons and Dragons, which is the 1983 Dungeons and Dragons cartoon series.
I remember that a little bit. So Dungeons and Dragons is also that game that was like a, you could pick your path, right? Where the knight would run, or is that something different? Remember that? There was like a, it was a very weird thing where it was like, you'd have to choose and like jump left and the thing was going to go and there was lava.
Oh, no. That was,
what was that called? Weird game though. Like
Dragon. What the fuck was that called? You just fucking blocked my brain.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly. You have to rescue, Princess Daphne.
Yeah, there was an arcade game and there's this knight, but it was a cartoon that you were controlling, like a really good cartoon. It didn't look like video games. Mm. And like you would be presented, it's like those books where you could choose the ending. You could choose left, right. You might have to jump or duck and choose what you were going to do. And then as you chose the action, like a different outcome would occur. Mm. I felt like it was called Dungeons and Dragons, but
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair. That's right.
Yeah, and it was just all timing, and it was all animated. And
those fuckers are set up. It was Noah Vanderhoff's arcade or whatever the fucking guy's name was, where it was like tricking you to get a quarter because you were going to make the wrong decision every time and have to put another quarter in to get to the next decision.
Right.
So it cost you like $37.50 by the time you saved the princess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was calculated.
Well, no, you didn't get to. There was no continue. Like when you died, you put a quarter.
No, but you knew next time duck, don't jump. But it cost you a quarter to learn.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh,
but then remember that.
Yes, exactly.
Like fucking remember that because you're not going to get back to the arcade for two more weeks.
Yeah, it was the Yoshi Island tactic. If you jumped on the stone wrong, you're fucked. You're starting over.
So at this point, Gary Gygax, the company's doing well. Like I said, Dave Arneson, the other co-creator, and he doesn't get credited with any of the books because he didn't write the books. He came up with the game mechanics with Gygax, but Gygax wrote the books and play tested the books and paid money himself to publish the books. So wasn't as big a dick move as I thought that he was like, fuck you, what did you do?
Too
like,
bad.
He sat
Amazon
down and thought about
around.
It and I fucking did everything else. Yeah. Like,
But without those game mechanics, it couldn't have been what it was.
No, either. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely
so
not. Absolutely.
I mean, you got to give them credit where it's due, but they probably had a bygger nerd falling out than we know.
And Gygax was an uber nerd. Like I actually spoke to Gary Gygax once.
I mean, did somebody fuck somebody's elf? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'm sure that happened. I'm sure that, cause when I was in high school, I started playing with a second group of players who were like more advanced and super crazy evil rule mongers. Mm-hmm. Like if you knew the rules, you won, period. So it was just nothing but rules mongering, endless arguments about rules interpretations, etc. But one of the guys at the game who was running the game played in Gen Con in a game with Gary Gygax. And at the end, Gary Gygax was impressed with his role playing and gave him his phone number. And said, and was impressed with his rules mongering and said, if you ever have any questions, give me a call. Like I'm always up and I'm always playing the game. And a couple of times when we would get contested with two rules that conflicted from two different books that were both written by Gary Gygax.
Hey, Gygax.
Like he called and he would be like, hey, what would you do? And at one point he was calling Gygax for an argument that was breaking out that was starting to get heated. And he dialed the number and was waiting while the phone rang. And the two guys were like legit starting to argue and like push each other.
Handed you the phone.
So he handed me the phone. I hold it up to my ear. Hello. I said, may I speak to Gary Gygax? And he said, this is. And I said, yeah, we had a question. And he said, shoot. And then my friend snagged the phone from my hand. Right. And that was my brush with.
So how
with,
dare you? You my, hand Gary back
exactly.
right now.
So that was my, I think I went up a level. Number. Like I went up a level of nerddom just by talking to him. Hmm. Like that's
pretty cool.
That's an
I don't know if I'd get that excited.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited for him. And I've only heard the name.
And the three times that we ended up
with
calling
Seymour
him,
Dicks or whatever
all three times, he was currently playing Dungeons and Dragons when we called.
Mike a lot of dicks. Like, yeah. Mike a lot of dicks. Yeah. That was his name. What was his name?
Michael Moorcock.
Michael Moorcock.
Seymour Butts.
Why? Oh,
so anyway, man. Gygax is finally doing well, and he goes to L.A., and he's trying to get a Dungeons and Dragons movie created. And this is in 1984. And I didn't know this, but the movie, like they had reached an agreement. Orson Welles was going to be in the fucking movie. Which is pretty
crazy.
What
was it going to be? Like a Labyrinth style movie with like.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was going to be like Willow.
It could have been something cool like a Neverending Story where like the kid rolls a dice, a Jumanji-esque Neverending Story where they're immersed into the
Dungeons and Dragons thing. 84. I think you're going too far.
It probably just would have been set.
That's Neverending Story.
Yeah. Horrible.
It probably just would have been set in his game world.
Right.
I would imagine.
I don't like the Neverending Story. That was a long movie.
Long. No, it wasn't actually that long.
It was long.
No, you're just, the title's like confusing it. You.
No, no, no. And it seemed like it went on forever.
So
he hated that kid.
He's all set to get this movie made, and
Sebastian,
all of a sudden he
gets take that back. You leave Sebastian out of this.
Fuck that guy.
Although I do always remember the Rock Eater.
Oh fuck yeah!
Because that's a really good insult for people with bad teeth.
What did he say?
Hey.
No, you just call him the Rock Eater.
Oh, I see. Mm.
I have bad teeth.
Nothing. Nothing would be something. This is nothing. Yeah, I fucking love that movie.
I guess.
And all the lines. I watched the fuck out of that. We had a VHS tape that had that.
You had a beta.
Like Rad. Or
there was Rad's
like
good.
What was it? It was like Goonies, Rad, Ferris Bueller, and Neverending Story or something. Yeah. That was my VHS tapes. I watched those movies.
Rad's the only one that I approve of.
Yeah, Rad's right. Good. True Jones, Bart Taylor, Helltrack, the Reynolds Twins, Rod and Rex.
So... Gygax, they're making $30 million a year out of TSR, and it's a handful of people. It's not like it's some huge fucking company. It's a handful of people. And while he's trying to put money together to finance the beginning of this movie, he gets a phone call because the guy who's like the current CEO, a guy named Kevin Bloom, is trying to sell TSR for $6 million.
That's
and
not
someone calls Gygax and they're like, did you know someone's trying to sell your company for $6 million?
Whoa.
And he's like, we make $30 million a fucking year. Like who would sell that for six? Like what the fuck? So he looks into it and apparently they're like completely broke. They're almost $2 million in debt. They're like almost insolvent. They're on the verge of bankruptcy. And Gygax looks into it and finds out that this guy has been stocking up on inventory, hiring all of his friends, buying everyone company cars. And he tried to just dredge up a 19th century shipwreck.
What?
With company funds.
That's fucking ballsy. Who the fuck was this guy? He had to go on and do something like that. That somebody knows about.
I don't know.
Like, what the fuck?
But
that sounds like a movie plot.
He got shit canned. And
he was a Goonies fan.
Yeah. They make $30 million a year and they're $2 million in debt now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he gets shit canned. And then that was a point where there was a huge surge in Dungeons and Dragons products released because Gygax was like, we need more fucking books.
Yeah.
Because once you own the DMG, the Player's Handbook, and the Monster Manual,
you don't, need to buy anything
you don't
else.
Fucking need them again. Right. Everybody at the game can ultimately get away with one copy of the book, even though it's pain in the ass.
And I think at some point too, you get good, you write your own.
Sure.
Like some DMs have their own content material.
So, but he started to release new books because all of a sudden, a new book came out written by Gary Gygax. Yeah. And then you'd go buy it. So they ended up getting a lot more money. But all of this leads to at the prime of it in the 80s. And I know people want us to touch on this, but it's almost, we've got requests for this to be its own topic, which I think is worthy of its own topic.
Satanic
is
panic.
The Satanic Panic.
Right. Right?
Yeah. So, and
which we've talked about a little bit before in cult episodes and whatnot.
And the Satanic Panic doesn't strictly deal with Dungeons and Dragons. It deals with rock and roll music.
Yeah.
I even remember watching like religious channels in high school and they were even talking about the Smurfs. And they were talking about the fact that it's satanic because Gargamel uses magic and they're all, it's a village of homosexual demons. Like, so the Satanic Panic was much bigger than Dungeons and Dragons, but a lot of it focuses on Dungeons and Dragons. So
how you gonna fuck with the Smurfs like that?
Fucking Smurfs.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
They do have black feet.
Vanity Smurf was gay as fuck though.
Well,
for sure.
They're either all asexual or gay.
Well, the stork.
Yeah, but they're not humans though. So I mean, you can't really say that they're gay.
And the only female is Smurfette, and she was created by Gargamel.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was Sassy or whatever her name was. There's a little female Smurf that comes later in the seasons, like a little kid Smurf. But I think Gargamel also created her.
Yeah, probably.
Gargamel.
Yeah,
and Azrael.
So if Gargamel, so here's the thing, if Gargamel needs Smurfs to fucking eat or power his magic butt plugs or whatever, but he can create Smurfs.
Yeah. That was the goal, to power like, his magic butt plugs.
Yeah, I never understood that. Yeah, he created the Smurfs, but then he was always trying to capture them.
Well, no, he only created the one. He created Smurfette.
She was a spy.
She had
a makeup mirror that would like let her talk to Gargamel. She was a spy originally.
Yeah.
But if you can make a Smurf, why do you need Smurfs?
Yeah, you just make more.
I don't know.
See where I'm going with this?
Probably very resource intensive.
Oh, I bet. I see.
It takes a lot of hair treatment.
He could only make a female Smurf and his magic spells needed surf scrotum.
Yeah.
And there were no Smurf scrotums with a female Smurf.
Yeah. With that blue sack.
makes a lot of sense.
You could take her elbows. Sacks are just made of elbows. So you could just make a lot of female Smurfs and take all their elbow skin.
So some of the
simulated Smurf sack though.
Yeah.
One thing I recommend everyone do is get online and read Dark Dungeons, which is, you know, those chick tracks, those little black, thin religious publications that you find like at bus stops and on, like, and it's like why on Easter is the devil's holiday and all like, but fucking
it's a
just
book?
Crazy
like
shit.
A pamphlet?
It's a pamphlet. It's a little religious pamphlet. I meant to bring one. I've got a bunch of them. But
I don't really know what that is. Yeah. But I never heard.
It's a religious tract.
Okay.
And they're done by a guy named Chick. So they're called Chick tracts.
I've never heard of that.
But
it'd be similar to like the Jehovah's Witness ones. They leave on your fucking door.
Except they all try to scare you into whatever you're doing is the devil's work. Rock and roll music is the devil's work. There's a Chick tract for it. And I remember a couple of years ago, I found that you could order Chick tracts online for dirt fucking cheap because everybody buys them and spreads them out at their church and shit. Yeah. And I bought a bunch of Halloween ones and Dark Dungeons ones for a Halloween party.
That's sweet.
But Dark Dungeons, I recommend everyone read it before you play. In fact, it's a house rule in my home. If anyone ever comes to my house to play Dungeons and Dragons for the first time, they must read
how many pages?
Dark Dungeons and take it with them.
How many pages is it?
I don't know, 15.
Oh. Got it.
It's like they're small too.
And they're small.
It's not like a full book page.
So like when Mondo and them came over to play a couple times, a couple years ago, I made all of them read Dark Dungeons.
And handed it out.
Because you need to know the dangers. You need to know that when you play Dungeons and Dragons, you're going to fall in with Satan.
Right.
And you're going to commit suicide.
Well, when you lose touch with reality, that's what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
When you kill Blackleaf, you commit suicide.
I knew I played World of Warcraft for a little while, and there is some weirdness that happens when you immerse yourself in a fucking game too much like that.
There is.
Where you get outside and you're like, if this was WoW, I could cut that tree down and I would get like this herb or some shit. Like you start thinking about things like that, like in your head, like you start seeing the virtual environment in the real world because you played so much that you like the game so much that somehow you want to include like that environment with you. You know what I mean? Like if a kid's playing Fortnite, he's like, that's a good sniper position up there.
Right.
Like,
Well, that's a skill. Sniper, that's what you need. Yeah. I mean, that's good to have. Like that's just, you know, training.
So one of the big ones is there was a guy, God help him. He's a nerd and his last name was Egbert.
Van Finkel. Egbert Van Finkel.
One of the big stories, 1979.
There were D&D critics, Siskel and Egbert.
Yeah, that's right. A 16-year-old, like basically Nerny. Super genius. He was at University of Michigan at 16. And he was 16, but he was depressed. He was like off mentally. He was probably too smart for his own fucking good. But James Dallas Egbert III, basically, so what happened was
that's a long line of fuck you. Here's your name.
There is.
My name sucks, and now so does yours.
Yeah.
There's steam tunnels under U of M. And you can like a lot of campuses back east have tunnels underground, so you don't have to walk and freeze your fucking balls off between buildings and stuff. But there's steam tunnels under U of M, and he tried to kill himself in one of the steam tunnels because he was fucking depressed and didn't succeed in killing himself. And then he went and hid out in his friend's house for like a month after the suicide attempt for some reason.
Right.
And so everyone said he's missing. Like, we don't know where this fucking guy is.
Could be dead.
And he could be dead. It could be whatever. And his parents hired a private investigator to check him out. And when his private investigator started looking into it, he was like, oh, this guy plays Dungeons and Dragons. He had no idea what Dungeons and Dragons was.
Right.
He starts to look into it. And he said that they were what everyone that I played with would still like. The biggest D&D nerd that I knew would look at LARPers and say, no.
Oh, wow. Really?
No. I work with one.
LARPer, like everyone I knew looked at LARPers as you're going a little too far. If you're LARPing,
I feel like that
LARPing
would,
is live
like
action role.
If
playing.
We did it, it would be fun. You know what I mean?
But it'd be fun. I'm
I think
sure
if you're trying it, like you're just doing it the one time, like cool, you can get into it. But like when that's your thing, you are the super.
What's the
nerd.
Movie with like, is it like Stifler or someone that does it? There's a decent movie. Like
no, there's
comedy.
One. It's called Role Models.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And that movie is funny. No, they're LARPers. Serious. Yeah.
Have
funny.
You seen that?
No.
Role Models is a funny movie.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. So, but he was a LARPer back in 1979. So he was an OG fucking LARPer.
Right.
This fool is like the LARPers have this guy on their mantle. Yeah.
But they would
and
go
he's like this. Like when they go to exactly. when they go to LARPing class, like it's like they have, you know, you have Gracie up in the jiu-jitsu yeah. school or fucking yeah. Kano up in judo, you know, like they got fucking they got this Egbert. Guy. Yeah. They got Egbert up yeah. there.
LARP is so derp. It's like, it's so close. They yeah. can come up with it another is. Name. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like buying a Selena candle.
Well, it's live action
what
role playing.
Is a Selena candle?
I have a Selena candle, yeah. dude. What do you mean?
You don't have a Selena candle?
No.
You got to represent. So,
you're too white for your own good.
Yeah. But yeah, they used to LARP,
bro. You can't get a Selena candle on Amazon.
Yeah, you can.
Can
I
you?
Bet you.
Oh, fuck.
Hold
yeah.
on a minute.
Yeah,
I gotta
check. You get grabbing phones, hands on keyboard, all hands on deck. You guys went crazy just now.
I got to find out.
How dare you? Here it comes.
Okay,
nothing. You have to go to a little Mexican store to get it. You got to get a Vallarta. It's next to the.
Spell the name wrong.
The praying hands candle.
Bang. $15
for Selena candle.
Selena Gomez prayer candle.
Selena Gomez?
That's not what I'm after.
See, I was like, not Selena.
Yeah, she got a little too popular.
It has a little barbecue on it. So when you light
what's
it,
what's the other Selena's last name?
She didn't have last name.
She didn't have one. It was just Selena. Just Selena.
Told you. Called Fuck. It. I'll just sip my whiskey.
Damn. Well, I guess I'll buy a Selena Gomez prayer candle.
Sit over here in victory.
Yes, why do I need to pray to Selena Gomez?
You guys strike out on Google. You struck out. You got to get it at a little Mexican liquor store.
I mean, you never watched Wizards of Waverly Place?
You did watch that, huh?
My daughters.
Yeah, I watched the fuck out of that. I know.
I got kids. I watch a lot of shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they end up finding him. They find out that there were suicide attempts, and they think that it's all based on Dungeons and Dragons. A year later, Egbert does kill himself with a self-inflicted gunshot. And as it turns out, it has nothing to fucking do with Dungeons and Dragons. But this starts this idea that Dungeons and Dragons causes suicide. People get all fucking worked up in it. This was in 79.
Yeah. And back then, like all the retractions in the world are going to be some little bullshit.
Yeah.
Once that goes mass media, you're not it's taking done. That back.
So in 1981, a woman named Rona Jaffe publishes a book called Mazes and Monsters, which gets turned into the fantastic fucking movie Mazes and Monsters starring Tom Hanks, where Tom Hanks plays a riff on Egbert, where they're playing under the, in the steam tunnels.
It's a drama though.
It's a drama.
Oh, wow.
If you want to look at it that way, odds are when you watch it, you're just going to assume it's a comedy.
What year is that?
I almost want to get
I thought I knew all the 80s movies, especially Tom Hanks.
You never saw Mazes and Monsters? 82. It's an iconic scene where he loses his mind.
Speaking of movies, this is obviously like, it's not a shout out for me, but Border Brothers, that movie that I had like 5 seconds in, is on Amazon Prime now.
Nice.
But that's shout out to Ricky Bird with Hectic Films and Brian Ross, star of the movie. It's super low budget, but if you have Amazon Prime, it's on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you have to pay for it, but me punching someone in the face for 5 seconds is not the reason to watch it. It's actually a fucking funny movie. So if you have Amazon, go check out Border Brothers on Amazon Prime.
And based on your recommendations from, I want to say our last episode, 2 episodes ago, you both said that Bright was really good.
Oh yeah. No. I like that. Yeah.
You didn't like Bright. I thought you said you liked it.
I didn't say that. It was something else.
I do like Bright.
I haven't seen Bright.
That's where they mix orcs with real world LAPD officers.
I haven't seen it. I wanted to watch it. My wife doesn't want to watch it.
Because for
whatever reason.
Like,
I don't know.
I was never all that interested. And once I start, it's like, it's fucking.
It worked out well. It's a weird mix.
It works out well.
Yeah. The preview looks good.
The preview.
I
want to
watch it.
The preview doesn't do it justice. Like,
no, I know.
It is an extremely rated R movie. Like, it is a fucking swearing, fucking shit talking foul. Like, you're like, oh, Will Smith and a bunch of orcs, and they fucking hate each other and swear constantly and shoot people.
You see Will Smith's on a bucket list mission. He's doing stand up comedy and a bunch of shit right now.
No.
Yeah, he's just doing all the things he wants to do before he dies. Yeah.
But yeah,
he's
like Bryce. Anyone who's a Shadowrun fan, which is another game. If you like Shadowrun, you haven't seen Bright, watch Bright. If you think the concept of Shadowrun is stupid, watch Bright, and it might make you rethink Shadowrun. That's my nerd of the day.
I like that movie.
So in 1983, and I need to find this and watch it, there was a Canadian film called Skullduggery.
Yeah.
Which also depicts someone playing Dungeons and Dragons who ends up becoming a tool of the devil and becomes a serial killer.
Pretty sure.
Well, that's what happens.
That's fetish, porn too. Skullduggery. That's face fucking deep. Yeah. Skullduggery. That's a sex move.
So in 1982, there was another guy, a guy named Lee Pulling, who shoots himself in the chest. And his mother Patricia Pulling like goes on a fucking rampage, and she's one of the reasons that the Satanic Panic really picked up, because she started to get on all the religious channels.
She's trying. She was trying to sue them too, right?
She did. She tried to.
She sued them.
It didn't work.
Oh, that the curse was real or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so her.
Let's go to court with that one.
I can't believe it. Yeah. An attorney took the case.
Her son was playing Dungeons and Dragons, and the high school principal was the dungeon master.
Oh.
And the son's character got cursed.
This like Riverdale.
By a character, right? So. She thought that the curse was real and that that's why he killed himself. Or she argued that he thought the curse was real and that's why he killed himself.
You would have to hold yourself back real hard though. If for some reason your kid played Dungeons and Dragons and the principal put a curse on him and then he killed himself right after that. Like you'd be like, you motherfucker, somehow I know that I'm not suing anyone over a curse and getting an attorney involved.
It also means that you have no idea how Dungeons and Dragons works. Because the principal did not put a fucking curse on him. Some non-player character in the game put a curse on her son's character. Person. They should have sued an NPC in the guy's game
Was up that character's ass?
Yeah, Riverdale.
Principal Skinner.
Yeah, that's right. That's Riverdale, right. They play Griffins and Gargoyles.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's G&G they call it. And nice. It's similar. They have a DM and then they do this thing, but... Like
we should just make variations for every letter of the
alphabet. There's shit.
Well, there was TNT, which was an old one called Tunnels and Trolls.
ANA, Anal and Assholes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, but there's like on that show, they got G&G and it was like a religious thing. Like it was like they were using this nun's monastery to fucking host, like giving these kids drugs, and they were thinking that the fucking like the Let's person do who's
nuns
giving,
and nannies and it'll just be like good. Badass nuns and nannies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a spinoff of D&D for sure.
Right.
But
so Patricia Pulling sues D&D and creates a group called Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow. There's a shirt, I
which
bet.
Is
somewhere.
Bad. Yeah.
One shirt in a thrift store somewhere in Ohio.
Bothered About Dungeons. I want that shirt. I'm making that shirt.
That's
pretty
dope.
Start wearing that shirt.
So, and she, here's a quote from her. She described Dungeons and Dragons as, and if this doesn't make you want to fucking play Dungeons and Dragons, nothing will.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
She says Dungeons and Dragons is, quote, a fantasy role-playing game which uses demonology, witchcraft, voodoo, murder, rape, blasphemy, suicide, assassination, insanity, sex, perversion, homosexuality, prostitution, satanic-type rituals, gambling, barbarism, cannibalism, sadism, desecration, demon summoning, necromantics, divination, and other teachings.
Put it on the box, right on the back. Yeah,
I was going to say, that's like the motto.
How do I not want to play that fucking game?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
And I really want a Selena Gomez candle now.
Well, $15 Amazon.
I got some on Etsy.
Okay.
I got some better ones.
I think asking you shall receive, sir. Selena Gomez candle shall arrive in the mail like this week, probably. Yeah.
So yeah, they ended up on 60 Minutes. Like she was on it and Gary Gygax was on it. And even like multiple people, it came out with multiple investigations later. Everyone was basically saying that, Pulling, who killed himself, was totally disturbed, mentally disturbed, et cetera. Right. Like it had nothing to do with the game. And then there were even studies that came out in the wake of the Satanic Panic where people were like researching role players, like people who play Dungeons and Dragons in high school. Like if we look globally, what are the rates? What are the suicide rates? What are the depression rates? What are the graduation rates? And all the negatives were radically lower than students who didn't play Dungeons and Dragons. And the positives were radically higher than students who didn't.
It's tough. Like, 'cause like predictably, I would have debated the thing that like maybe they're social outcasts or like intellectuals that would play that game. That wouldn't be as social. You would think that maybe they might have a higher rate of depression, but
apparently. Oh, but here's the thing though, even if you were the like, because let's face it, in high school, especially back in the fucking day in the 70s and 80s, like you were kind of outcast to play Dungeons and Dragons. Now it's becoming way more mainstream,
right?
I think things like Big Bang Theory, I mean, even what's his name, Dan Harmon, who created the TV show Community, he has a show where they do it. The redhead girl who was in True Blood and was in Daredevil. She plays the secretary in Daredevil. She just created a TV
More
show
like the
where
secretary.
Yeah. She created a show where celebrities come on and do a session of Dungeons and Dragons with her.
And I know what's the comedian guy's name? We talked about him before.
The rock guy from Big Bang Theory that you kept trying to say his name.
No. Oh shit, what's his name? He talks funny.
Chris the Hardy? Geologist that you were trying to do the impression of?
No. We talked about him before. Damn it. I forget his name, but he has a podcast. of D&D where they play D&D every week or whatever.
But now it is. I mean, there's a lot of streams and there's a lot of, you know, YouTube channels and so forth where you can watch people play Dungeons and Dragons. If they're smart, which I'm assuming they do, you'll probably run some dope ass fucking game and then sell the module.
Right.
Like, this is the game we played. You can buy it and play it too.
Oh, that's cool.
You
know, that custom one.
I don't know if that's what they do, but they fucking should.
Brian Passane.
Yeah, that's the guy who plays the geologist on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one you kept.
I know we had, I couldn't think of his name and I couldn't do it again, but I just remembered it.
Right.
But yeah, he has
Kermit the Froggy.
Yeah. He has a D&D podcast. I listened to it like to see, I was like, what is that going to be about? Like,
are they playing D&D?
They're playing D&D on the podcast. Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of, I think if you're not into D&D,
you wouldn't give a fuck.
Because I was kind of like
Twitch, you can watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something to be said for some of those things.
And I think if you did it like full on, it would be better. Like if you fucking come in your cloak,
dress up.
I have no idea. If you come in
and your fucking hair is all fucking crazy and like,
I'm down. I say we start a little side podcast.
My problem is I always play women characters.
Let's do this. Let's call it Sofa King Optional, and then we just show up in character in a costume, and we just play D&D. So there's no expectations of anything. It's like if you fucking want to watch us play D&D, and we're gonna do voices and shit. Let's just do it.
And part of it is, I mean, you've got to look at the rules of improv. Like you've got to go with what has been established.
It's like the podcast,
and you
it's
turn to the dungeon master. Yeah. Like if you say, I grab the gem. The same time someone else at the table says, I grab the gem, you both look at the DM. And the DM like looks at the rules and comes up with a system.
The gem breaks like, into two.
Well, no, it's like
you have
roll.
Both embrace
like,
the power.
You know, like as a DM, I would say, well, roll initiative.
Right.
Because that determines who moves first. Mm-hmm. Whoever's got the highest dexterity gets a bonus. You roll the dice. Randomness comes into play. Someone who's really fucking fast could roll a one and someone who's really fucking slow rolls a 20.
Is it as fun for you to be the DM though? Or you feel left out?
No, it's equally fun.
Yeah, it's just a different role.
It's just a different type of fun. Like I'm down.
Ghost
like combat
D&D,
is fun.
Let's change this shit D&D, up. Let's do it.
Dungeons and Dragons combat is really fucking
I don't
fun.
Think Brent gets the improv part, though. That's the problem. Like, fucking Goonies
to be
fucking
honest, a lot,
sucks, doesn't
To be
it,
honest,
Brent?
A lot of people don't.
Fucking China eyes.
but you posed it as a you posed it more as a question.
I know, but he still didn't get it.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
He threw him off his rocker.
No, you want me to go with it?
Yeah.
So to speak. You don't have to.
You're gonna trick me into saying that.
Right.
That's where I draw the line. It's like chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm over here and Brent fucking hates Goonies.
Yeah, I do. I mean, honestly, all these years I've been in denial. Yeah. It fucking sucks. Yeah, it's a kid's movie. I'm a grown man. Yeah.
That's right.
It's fucking pirate shit.
Now you're speaking
the
truth.
What is it? Pirates of the Caribbean over here?
Now you're speaking the
fucking
truth.
Fucking fake gold coins. There's probably chocolate in there.
You don't fucking talk about Pirates of the Caribbean like that.
One-eyed Willie is it's my dick.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So yeah, but part
of like that too when they find him.
Yeah. Part of Dungeons and Dragons though is finding a group that you're good with.
Yeah,
because that's fucking hard. Like when
are there like roaming DMs? Like is there like a fucking like board online? Like
there
DM,
probably are.
Have DM will travel.
Because when I moved out here and I knew nobody when I moved to California, I was desperate to play Dungeons and Dragons, and I actually made it was like nerd karma. It was like nerd coincidence. I made flyers that I was going to put on campus to say, if anybody's playing a Dungeons and Dragons game, please get in touch with me. I'd like to play.
Has a number on that.
I made the flyer.
It was like a sex trafficking flyer with a number. Like
I made the flyer and I went to one of the bulletin boards to post it. And as I was walking to the bulletin board to post it, a guy walked up to the bulletin board to post a thing that said, hosting a Dungeons and Dragons game, looking for players.
You threw away your flyers and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And we looked at each other and our eyes met across the quad and things were never the same again.
Wow.
But then I started playing in that game and it's like, wow, fucking seven of these people are fucking horrible. And that guy's kind of cool. So you'd kind of play that game for like a month and be like, dude, let me get your number.
You should just get a white mask.
Again. You join another game and find that one fucking dude. Join another game, find
pretty
that one.
You have a group
and then finally you have a group and you call everybody together and everybody's like, thank God that group fucking sucked.
I want you to get a white mask, a cloak, and a hoverboard and just show up to DM games. Like just fucking roll in because it was posted at the game store. Yeah. And you just come floating in, like hovering on that fucking rolling board and just take the DM over.
But you have to know, you have to know, like you have to click with the group though.
Yeah.
Not like just with the people, but even the rules. Like
if they're too nerdy.
I don't want like a rules mongering group. I want it to be loosey goosey, or as a DM, I want to just say shit happened because I need to move the story forward, and you better not have a fucking problem with that. I'm telling a story.
What happens if you can't come to an agreement? They're all rule mongering. You're like, no, I'm the fucking DM. I said this shit happened.
End of the day. That's what it's over. To. And people can get pissed off and not come back, or fucking call bullshit and storm out and say Klingons would never surrender.
Klingons but would never surrender.
At the end of the day, you're the DM and you fucking say you move the story on like your jaw. Like there's another game called World of Darkness. That's like vampires and werewolves and shit like that. And they don't call it a dungeon master. They call it a storyteller, and the whole premise and the rules are there and so forth. But they even say, fuck the rules. Like your job is to tell a story. Like if you have to fudge the rules to make something cool happen, make something cool happen. So it depends.
I may have entered a new chapter in my life, but it may suck.
It's very, very time intensive.
Right.
Yeah, that's the
like
problem.
I mean, that is the problem. It's why I don't play.
Right.
Like even when we tried to play a short game with Mondo and them, it was like 4 or 5 hours and we got nothing done.
Mm.
You know, because we had to make characters, we had to fucking get started. Like what? Like you. It's. I mean, because I mean, we when third edition came out, we started a first level campaign, and I think we played that game exclusively twice a week, for 3 years.
Jesus.
Before I was the first character to hit 20th level just because I never died. Everybody else would have gotten there sooner. Right. Every time you die, you lose a level. But it took 3 years for me to max out the level. And we played twice a week.
What if we create some kind of restricted version, some golden axe thing where there's like a dwarf, a warrior, a sorcerer, and a fucking whatever. So like you're one of those characters.
That's called basic.
Okay. And so you don't get to make a character. You pick that character. And we're forced to do that. And there's some kind of structure in place that limits the game.
That's a board game.
Right.
I mean, they have Dungeons and Dragons board games that are really fun. They're very limited. They're very restrictive. Even the old school game Dungeon was like
that. Sounded a little judgy, didn't it? He's like, yeah, that's a board game.
That's a board. No,
I mean, they're fun in their own right.
There's fun. There's fun board games. Fun. But they're,
if you're fun with them, if you're that null in the head.
But realistically, I mean, if we were going to start a game and people didn't want to fucking waste a whole session making characters, I'd be like, hey, what are you thinking about playing? I'll just make your fucking character.
Right.
Because it would take me 30 minutes to just make a fucking
character. That's what I'm saying. Just draw your character out of a hat. Like you already have the characters made and then
I've done that before.
Yeah. We just draw the characters out of a hat.
Or sometimes you'll even run a game where you don't even know your stats. Like I have your character sheet because I'm the dungeon master. I just tell you know that you're pretty fucking strong. People tell you you're smart and you know you're ugly.
Right.
Like you're pretty good with a gun. Go.
Like, I'm the dungeon master. Like,
I've got
pretty good
with
a gun, like, but you have a frying pan.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't know shit. So like you don't know, because I don't know. Dave Moten doesn't know his stats.
You know the character Rain Man. That's you.
Let's go.
Somebody drop some toothpicks quick.
Yeah.
This is where I shine.
So I recommend everyone find a game group, try Dungeons and Dragons, get into a combat.
I know
see
we
how
have,
it rolls
I know
out,
we have some really fans that play.
Fun. Oh, yeah.
Listeners that play.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah, David and his wife play.
The Schmucks?
Mm-hmm, the Schmucks.
Mr. and Mrs. Schmucks.
But there's tons of other games. People might be avid gamers and
kicked
they play
my ass in Street Fighter.
They play Warhammer.
I thought they were getting together and playing. Actually, I have some jiu-jitsu friends that play too. They were playing. So, yeah it's kind of.
And they did get it. They got a huge infusion of money. The reason that Dungeons and Dragons 3rd edition was so fucking good is they had the money to pay game testers to really design this awesome system, and it was because Wizards of the Coast bought TSR. In the late 90s and they bought TSR with their ridiculous stash.
Wizards of the Coast.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there Wizards of the West Coast?
Wizards of the Coast makes magic.
And Pokemon.
They're the one. Richard Garfield. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. I don't think he's involved in it anymore.
He does have a fucking weird name to be in this game world.
Richard Garfield.
Pulling. Yeah. Moorcocks.
Garfield. Netrunner now.
Yeah.
Have you played Netrunner?
No, it
it's supposed
boring
to be fucking
fuck.
Fun. People say it's dope.
I've watched some buddies play it.
Doesn't look good.
I don't know. It's just not. That's the thing. Like with video games too. Like I played Destiny, and now if I go to play something else, like Fortnite, I'm like, no,
right.
Can't do it. Can't get into it.
I read an interview,
and then same thing. Like I played Magic. Magic is by far, leaps and bounds the best card game that is. And you try and play something else and it's just not there.
Because I read an interview.
Pokemon's fun.
Right.
Pokemon's fun, but Pokemon's simple.
Right.
And those are two different things. Like Magic is complex. And
I read an interview with Garfield like 2 years ago, And he was talking about the fact that one of his favorite parts of magic is like when sets come out, getting to watch the fans put together combinations that you never thought of when you were designing. Yeah, yeah. And he was still talking like present tense. Like he wasn't talking if he left.
Well, it's the reason that there's still like, involved. You know, there's a card, new set comes out and the card's not worth any money. And then all of a sudden somebody finds some fucking combo for mm-hmm. it. And now, or it goes in this fucking deck
somebody breaks
and now the card's $30 yeah. right. or $60 or $80 right. or a fucking one foil of a common is $80.
Right.
You know? And you're just like, what the fuck?
At the end of the day,
is happening?
The one plus of Dungeons and Dragons is it's a lot fucking cheaper than magic. Yeah.
Magic is
like, you're going to be out $90 for the three core rule books. You should probably buy some miniatures and a map. So let's say you drop $200 and you're just good to play Dungeons and Dragons forever.
Which $200 though.
Yeah. Which is why I play EDH and Magic because the cards, there is no rotating out of cards. Mm-hmm. You can use whatever cards you want and you can build a $40 deck that'll beat a $2,000 deck.
Right.
And vice versa. I mean, you can build a $2,000 deck if you want or $5,000.
We need to figure out a way to play Dungeons and Dragons because it's fun as fuck. Very fun.
We can board one if you lower yourself to such things. That way we can get it done in 3 hours or something. Like just have a special like.
Well, bonus. It won't get done. It's just,
you said the board game you could do quicker, right?
Yeah, but
I would rather create characters, get everything mapped out, and just run through a quick scenario in 3 hours than get the board game.
3 years later, so
what he's saying saga. What he's saying is he'd wipe his ass with the board game.
No, yeah. I played the board game. It's fun, but it's not Dungeons and Dragons. It's a completely different game. It's
like, but it literally has board right in the name.
Yeah, I mean it's right there.
Yeah.
In bold letters, board game.
I'm down. Don't let this fade away. Like we always say, we should do that. Let's go ghost hunting. Old Josh Burton tried hunting. To put us on a camping trip. He tried to get us to go camping in like where skinwalkers were born or something.
I'll do it. Ooh, I'll do down. It.
We could have
I'll
a camping meetup. Might be fucking fun.
That might be fun.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Might be dangerous.
It'd be kind of weird though. Like dangerous. How? Like because like where are we going camping? Like I'm not traveling to Texas to go camping.
No,
I'm saying we do some skinwalker shit. Go Bigfoot hunting or something. Campling. We should make a...
Hey, there's no might be about it. That shit would be fun as fuck, but that shit would get way out of control after about midnight.
Next scene, forest fire.
I might kill somebody. Who knows?
Yeah.
Why do you think I have a shovel with me?
Fuck the missing 411. It's going to be the missing 485 by the time we're done. Everybody's going to fucking be drunk and falling in chasms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Josh Burton, Sculpt Member of the Month for March, Josh Burton's wife.
Yeah, not let's Burton. Be clear about that.
Not Josh Burton. So it says, Josh has been messaging me furious that his wife was picked for Sculpt Member of the Month. He's been messaging
I've got a couple
also.
Messages too, yeah.
But she's been hazing him with all kinds of pranks. But because of her, because of our shenanigans, pretty much because of all the shit talking that we're doing about him. Pretty much he wrote that he woke up this morning. This is a recent message.
Okay.
I don't think he talked to Brent yet, but he woke up this morning with a trouser snake in his boxers. He explains he woke up in a stupor and stumbled into his bedroom to find Tyrone laying in bed with his wife wearing his boxers.
His boxers, yeah.
Yeah.
That was confusing at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're thinking, of course you have a trouser snake in your boxers, but turned out it was Tyrone.
That's one of the perks. Right.
Trouser snake in his boxers.
Yeah.
That's the perk that comes with the title. Sometimes Tyrone pays you a visit.
Right.
That's true.
Poor Josh. He brought it on himself.
Poor Josh's really wife. Tyrone's a beast.
Yeah. Oh, man. She didn't ride horses. She'd be walking bow-legged after that.
All right. I have a social media winner. For episode 372, the Beltway Snipers is Matt Buckley. Is going to win a t-shirt for sharing on Facebook.
Matt Buckley, did he create a D&D game?
Is that a name worthy of it?
I think so.
Each
Who's your
week,
DM, Matt Buckley?
Each week we post on social media. The episode is out. And basically, if you go share that, or even just sometimes commenting, but generally sharing is what we reward for. We give away t-shirts and stickers and hot sauce and all kinds of stuff for that. So we really appreciate you guys giving any help on social media to share that and try to spread the word, because otherwise we have to try to... You know, throw money at it and advertise on Facebook and shit. And it's just hard.
Everybody hates Facebook.
No one sees that shit. Yeah. You see some people
it's a
left.
Fucking money pit.
Brad's predictions might be coming true. Like the guy that the creator of WhatsApp and the creator of Instagram just left Facebook's ranks. Like they walked off out of their job.
I'm telling you,
from
man.
Facebook, because
I'm telling you,
Facebook's going to combine Instagram, WhatsApp, and
yeah. And so, and Momo will be able to contact everybody on all three platforms. Yeah. Like easy, but
it's going to be like things, you too. Like, Momo's just instantly well, you in see your things friends with when these, you download Messenger. Momo's yeah, there.
You see things with these companies though, like that's happened in the past. And like, I saw it as soon as Facebook took over Instagram, and Instagram went from like being a cool platform where you had ads every once in a while to being this fucking money monger ad,
right?
You know,
right.
Like every other fucking photo on your shit is you're like, who's doing, oh, that's a fucking sponsor.
Well, a lot of
ad,
like, I think like, WhatsApp originally was like, hey, they're just going to charge $1 per year.
Yeah.
And their goal was 1 billion users. So then you end up with
$1 billion a year.
Yeah. But Facebook's trying for like 10 billion. They're like, yeah, we're going
to
do that.
Yeah. They're just money hungry fucking hoarders. And so it's going to happen slowly, but surely, people will find another platform to use. You know, somebody will come up with something that's like same thing as Facebook did when they first started. Oh, it's this free thing. And now it's just everything is ads.
Right.
I was thinking, do you want, I didn't try the stapler yet. We have Dave brought us an electric stapler.
That is my
stapler.
Swing line stapler.
This one, of course the broadcast quit during the good part, but, I will. Yeah, it's not going to work. That's fine.
Let's do it for the next one.
Yeah, you're not going to work here
anymore. What my plan was, next week on, is that I'm going to try to do the stapler and bluff you guys to say that it didn't shock me, like, or it did shock me.
Okay. So you're going to try and not react to
either
it?
React or react. Oh, man. Ah, it got me.
But if he doesn't react to it, we know it's not that bad.
Right.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think if it's bad enough,
you guys have to try it. To
I think
see.
If it's bad enough, you'll at least make some sort of fucking move.
So on that note, thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That's our primary sponsor. We have a meetup coming up.
Yes.
Haven't announced yet. This will be the first. We just got confirmation that, sorry for the short notice, but it's just scheduling and what we have to do to get things going.
Actually, it was kind of our fault. Yeah, well, actually, it was miscommunication.
It was just miscommunication. One party thought they were waiting on the other, but it looks like... Tentatively, we should be in New York. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple variables there, but I want to give people notice. It looks like we should be in New York on April 12th at the Whiskey Trader at 7 p.m., I believe is what it is. So, if you are in the area or need to make travel arrangements, heads up. I'm going to post it on social media and whatnot tomorrow. That's Spanish for tomorrow. Yeah.
Mañana. I come over here tomorrow.
Mañana's so traditional.
And I'm guessing in the next couple of days, we should have it like totally locked in.
I think so. Yeah.
So
it's 99% right now.
We got to finalize
up a couple of things.
That's a Friday.
Until the tickets are purchased and the venue is reserved.
And apparently they said at that location, super cool. You said it's near what? What were the things that was by?
It's like right in Midtown Manhattan. I mean, it's near 30 Rock. It's near MoMA. It's near Central Park. It's near fucking
all that's near each other. I mean, if you're in Manhattan, everything's pretty close. Yeah, so right, I mean, you can go to the M&M store.
Yeah. I've only been in the airport in New York, so I'm looking forward to that. That's
JFK.
I've only been to Newark.
Yeah. So check it out. Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. Whiskey Trader. If you're in the area or you can make it, we're going to be there to meet people, hang out, have drinks and whatnot. So, on that note, thank you to El Yucateco. You can get their sauce at your local grocery store, Walmart, Target. You can get it on Amazon, get it on eBay by the gallon, unless you're opposed to ordering food on the internets like Brad. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can go to printdirtcheap.com for stickers and printed goods. You can use code SOFAKINGPODCAST to observe savings on their website if you need to buy business cards or anything like that. Thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. He sent me and Brad some hats to make us feel better about all Dave's shirts. Dave got like onesies, like 7 shirts. I don't know. He got all kinds of fucking shit. And I was feeling left out. He was trying. He sent a hat. He even got the right hat. He got the FlexFit 110, which was the hat that I like. It's like a hybrid, like it's snapback, but still flex fit.
It is comfortable.
Yeah, it's a very comfortable hat. That's my new hat. It's the Jimmy D's Tees hat. I'm trying to get him to make t-shirts. You guys should hit him up because I like his logo. I think like a left justified pocket and then Jimmy D's in the back. It's like 6 colors is the problem. So we're trying to come up with a compromise that it wouldn't take a 6 color screen setup. You could just black and white it. It looks good this way though.
Yeah,
but I would totally, and then we could give those out.
Sublimation print them.
Yeah, maybe if you don't want you don't want Jim Jones on your chest or Rasputin or some shit, you'd probably wear a Jimmy D's t-shirt. So we could give those away as prizes. So yeah, go send him some pressure over at Jimmy D's Tees on social media across the board and on his website. Also, thank you to Digital Creations. They do our coffee mugs. They're available on the website at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. So if you want to support us and you're not doing Patreon, and I don't know, I'm going to try to see if we can figure out this Twitch stream thing once the internet's good. Maybe you guys can help us on that as well. So keep your eye out. And Brad's got some other social media stuff for you.
Yeah, if you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. I'm Raised with Wolves. We have Kid Nugget 606 in the orange corner. And then in the white corner, we have SofaKing Brent on there. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at SofaKingPodcast. Go on Facebook, give us a like. Go on Instagram, give us a follow. Listen to some of the cut videos we have. They're just little sound clips of the show. Most of them are funny moments or something funny happening. Check them out. I even randomly go through them and listen to ones I haven't listened to in a long time, and I find myself giggling.
I get in trouble because I'm laughing at myself. Like, you're real funny.
Some of the shit's funny. Like you're just like, or I can't believe I fucking said that. Yeah. You know, like I said some stupid ass shit, you know. But yeah, check us out on there. Instagram always needs some love. And Twitter also, building a Twitter account. So that was neglected for a few years now. Go ahead and give us some love on there. And then obviously share posts, share them on all three platforms.
Win shit.
Yeah. And you win free shit. So, if you like free shit, then share. That's it. Pretty simple. Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast, to support the show. And you get free shit on there too. So, we got member ID cards. You get our live streams garbage right now because of our fucking internet here in Bakersfield, California. Apparently doesn't fucking work anywhere.
Apparently we have an appointment this week. Again, I had to call back and they're like, yeah, it looks like they never came out. I was like, no, they didn't. No, they came out, said it was broken, said they were going to send maintenance, then didn't show up. And he's like, well, it's been too long. Now we're going to send tech back out. So the tech came back out on Saturday to find out that it hadn't fixed itself and that they still need to send the maintenance crew out. So they're sending them out. Yeah.
So hopefully that gets fixed up. That's pretty much it. Anything else?
Nope.
At all?
Nope.
At all. Thank you for your patience. Dave was sick for a week.
Still am.
Still sick, but he's here. So we'll get on that. The end song is Game by Cal Bent. Don't be a retard.
No one told me life is a game. I woke up in a dream looking life in the face. They said that I could be anything that I may. All it takes is some belief, pure intention and aim. No retention in school, I'd rather focus on games. Like I was up in a gym, bench pressing and praying. Trying to flex in my brain, thinking how to make change. And not just dollar bills, a bigger vision exchange. From me to the people, no matter the confusion. Always knew we was equal, always thought of bad influence. How we needed a beacon, someone who could speak the truth. Start a movement and be it, or how I see. But nobody catch the vision till you make it. I gamble by the minute, taking risks like I'm in Vegas. Follow intuition, build my mission. I created everything I ever wished. I used my gift to heal the nation. Man, you knew I had to level up, level up, level up. It's a new vibe, it's nothing regular. No rules running through your cellular. Had to switch the game, I'm trying to level up. Another young and polluted by ice watches and price margins, trying to gain Christ conscious. Ayo watch, they have me tweaking. Hey, third eye bulging, life has meaning. Wait, met my monsters and my demons in the secrets. Mental battles like we in the Colosseums. Wait, realized I was going deep, my guy. You don't see the magic till you peep, my guy. You don't know your trauma till you deep down. Dive to the sea grounds, oceans wide and keeps archives of the treasures. Pressure and pleasure, many endeavors, plans and adventures, but not without the painstaking. Heart aches and moments when we felt anxious, lost that aimless, it's all patience. Now we living life on the edge. My lucid dreams continue when I wake up from bed.